Christmas this year? Do you greet Christmas with a sense of fear or faith? With feelings of greed, what am I getting? Or gratefulness for what God has given? With an attitude of dread, disturbed by all the demands of Christmas? Or an attitude of worship, what Jesus deserves? Even as you sit in church this morning and hear this year's Christmas message, do you feel slightly disturbed, a feigning interest? Or are you genuinely joyful, searching for God and seeking to worship Him with all your heart? The reason I ask is because in today's passage about the arrival of the wise men, Matthew gives us the same sense of conflicting emotions as God's King is first announced. The vibe is both threatening and joyful. Just as our previous carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, reminds us, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Isn't that a good thing? That God doesn't just provide us with some superficial kid's story with cute nativity scenes and bleating sheep, but He gives us a story with such complexity. Because how else are we going to find hope in the midst of political assassinations in Turkey, the death of innocent people at the Berlin Christmas markets, and refugees forcibly bust out of Aleppo, if we don't have a story able to deal with the troubles in our world? Which is what the Bible gives us. Mary, a pregnant teenager, almost abandoned by Joseph. King Herod putting a hit out on their toddler's life. The young family fleeing to Egypt as refugees to escape the carnage. As summer blockbusters hit the cinemas, God gives us a story for mature audiences. A story as real and relevant in 2016 as when Gentile astrologers first arrive asking, where is the true King of the Jews? Let's have a look again from verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Last Sunday we explored the family tree at the very beginning of this gospel, where Matthew begins answering the big question, who is Jesus? Descended from Abraham, who was the founding father of the Israelite nation, also descended from David, the great king of Israel. With this pedigree, Jesus is certainly in line for the throne. But now the question on the lips of these wise men is, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Because we know that ancient stargazers from Persia, from Iran, loved making connections between astronomical movements in the heavens, the stars, and local political events. They even believed the arrival of the Saviour would be heralded by signs in the night sky. So when they notice a new star over the Jewish capital, they naturally jump on their camels and they head straight for where you'd expect a king to be born, the palace in Jerusalem. Here we are. We saw his star when it rose and we have come to worship him. But King Herod was never going to take this news well. See, Herod's whole life was devoted to one aim: securing his family's rule over Israel. In the early years, and being only half Jewish, which didn't help matters, he consolidated his position by befriending the Romans, marrying to strengthen the throne, executing rivals to protect it, honoring and giving favors to anyone who took his side, and swiftly removing anyone who didn't, including his own wife and mother-in-law, who he had put to death. Herod's rule was also complex. It was a blend of creativity and cruelty, harmony and chaos. See, once he felt more secure, he launched a massive building program, fortresses, cities, palaces. The next shot, I believe, is his holiday house at Masada. overlooking the Dead Sea. And of course, the temple in Jerusalem, a building so magnificent. People said, if you haven't seen the temple of Herod, you have never seen a beautiful building. Alec Garrard, a 78-year-old retired farmer from Norfolk in England, has spent the last 30 years and 33,000 hours constructing an enormous scale model of Herod's temple in his living room. Alec admits his model will never be finished in his lifetime, news which oddly caused his wife, Janet, to spontaneously pack her bags. You said this thing would be out of here by Christmas. Just as Herod's own temple wasn't finished until 66 AD, 70 years after his death, and then destroyed by the Romans just 4 years later in 70 AD. But having married 10 wives, each of which wanted her own sons to succeed him, the final years of Herod's reign were spent writing 6 different wills. He desperately tried to determine which of his 9 sons would best take over the kingdom, the dynasty. He executed 3 of them, which left 6, which made the job a little bit easier. At the end of his life, how do you think Herod would react as 3 camel-riding strangers knock on his door and deliver the news that there was another person claiming to be king of the Jews? Do you think that would go down well? Then learning that Judah's true king would come from Bethlehem. Let's have a look from verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, in the land of Judah. They replied, "For this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Now, Christmas can be a troubling time for many people. Struggles with anxieties, depression, fears about upcoming surgery, concerns about what the new year might bring. These fears and struggles don't pack themselves away when the Christmas lights come out. Eating disorders don't magically disappear when Christmas lunch is served. In fact, Christmas can make our sadness over the loss of loved ones, our feelings of isolation and abandonment, even more acute. One of my favourite verses in times like these is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that tells us to cast all your anxiety on God, on Him, because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. No matter how hard it is to believe during dark times, the Bible constantly reminds us there is a God who loves us, who knows us intimately, who knows even the exact number of rapidly decreasing hairs on our head, and cares for us dearly. And the great news of Christmas is that God loves us so much He came here Himself and became one of us. The child in a manger in Bethlehem, as the religious teachers explained to King Herod, is a ruler who will shepherd God's people. And in John's Gospel, you learn what kind of ruler Jesus is, exactly what lengths Jesus would go to rescue us. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Christmas, in fact, reminds us that we are not alone, that we are not, in fact, isolated, that even though we reject God, God doesn't reject us. God refuses to abandon us and instead meets our hostility towards Him with loving kindness. He comes to us in the most unexpected way, weak, humble, vulnerable, while Herod fakes interest to remove another rival. Have a look with me at verse 7. "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report back to me so that I too may go and worship him.'" Now, the latest Jason Bourne movie, was released earlier this year, imaginatively titled Jason Bourne. It has the very best CIA cyber intelligence operatives using every new technology imaginable to find Jason Bourne and hunt him down. And it's already clear that Jesus is in enemy territory, that the announcement that God's king has arrived is a threat to Herod's self-established rule. Feigning interest, he employs the naive magi to unknowingly act as his spies to pin down Jesus' exact time of arrival and current location. The moment you find him, report back to me. See, Bethlehem is only 7 kilometres away from Jerusalem, so within a day or two, Herod can close in on him so that he can go and worship him too. It's easy to laugh, but if Jesus really is God in the flesh, our Creator, the true King and Lord of the universe, then he poses not only a threat to Herod, but a threat to our own self-rule and independence. See, we live in a culture that demands that I give authority, I concede authority of my life to no one. I am the boss. I call the shots. I am the self-appointed ruler of my life, and no one will ever control me. See, Herod, in a way, represents all of us who refuse to submit to God. And this is the welcome Jesus receives from his own people. As John tells us at the beginning of John's Gospel, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. And the wise men, strangers from another country, receive him and worship him. Let's read from verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Divinely directed, the whole galaxy points the way to the Saviour. And when they find him, the wise men are overjoyed. The ESV translation captures their exuberance. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They simply could not be happier. Is that how we greet Jesus this morning? Because in Jesus they found the one worthy of their worship. In the Christ child they found the one worth bowing down before and submitting their lives to. And then they give the best that they have to offer. 3 gifts, which is why we often think there were 3 wise men. There may have been many more wise men. They give 3 expensive gifts, typical of those sold by merchants on the Arabian trade routes, gifts worthy of a king. In Song of Songs, King Solomon on his wedding day is described perfumed with myrrh and frankincense. These are gifts for a king. But how strange for Mary and Joseph to have a group of foreign travelers journeying hundreds of kilometres to bow down before their toddler, before their son. And the point Matthew seems to be stressing is that while Jesus' own people feel threatened at his arrival, even the Jewish king who heard the prophecies of where the Messiah was to be born wants him dead. Wise men, foreigners, outsiders, people from other lands seek him out. They're traveling miles to pay their respects and shower him with expensive gifts. And after dying on the cross, taking upon himself the penalty we deserve for rejecting God, Jesus rose again from the dead. And his great commission that is recorded at the end of Matthew's Gospel reads, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." See, first, Jesus is no self-made ruler. He is God's appointed king. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So secondly, like the wise men, God's offer of finding overwhelming joy in Him is still available to people of all nations who humbly receive Him. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, finally, even as we go about this task, we are never alone and we are never abandoned. He is always with us. And so this Christmas, will we feel threatened by Jesus? Like Herod wanting to protect our self-rule at all cost? Or will we, like the wise men, wherever we're from, will we receive Jesus with great joy and joyfully worship and serve Him who gave His life for us? Why don't we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You that You don't just give us a simplistic story, a cute nativity scene and bleating sheep. But dear Lord, You give us a story with such depth, a real story that can deal with the complexity of our world, the harshness of our world, the conflicting emotions that some of us are even feeling today. You meet us where we are at with the Christ child. Dear Lord, even as Herod, the moment he hears of this new king, wants to do away with him, the whole of Jerusalem disturbed, troubled, because he is a threat to their own self-rule. Help us today, dear Lord, to be like the wise men. This Christmas day, dear Lord, help us to be rejoicing exceedingly with great joy at the news that Jesus is here. Your appointed King, the One who has made salvation available to people of all nations who humbly receive You. This great news that because Jesus came, we are never alone. We will never be abandoned. Help us this Christmas, this day, to joyfully receive Jesus, we pray. To let go of our own self-rule and accept Jesus as our King, our Lord, and our Saviour. We pray these things in Your holy and precious name. Amen.